street is in case it says you can do it. Well.
Adequate notice of this meeting is required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 8, 2016, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roseville Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Conley?
Here.
Mr. Pelzeri?
Here.
Ms. Lapode?
Here.
Ms. Falcon?
Here.
Mr. Tecton?
Here.
Here. Before we get to the consent agenda or the public comment on the consent agenda, we have a couple of comments, a couple of bits of information. We got a call from POSHA, which is the state government version of OSHA, which advised us that they had received complaints regarding mold, ventilation, diesel coming into the hall, leaking roof, etc., and requiring us to give them a fact sheet of what we will be doing to correct the problem. We can expect that they will have their inspectors here sometime this week to examine the fire building, the ambulance building, and the borough hall. Had a meeting with Senator Thompson, which I guess I'll let Councilman Tecton talk about in his report. We also, I spoke today with Jason Martucci, Legislative and Regulatory Affairs Officer at the Local Government Services Offices. He's setting up a conference, another conference call with Millstone, the fire district, as well as a couple of people in DCA to see if we can find other alternatives, grants, funds, whatever. Also, we did the work at the cemetery. We came up with eight areas of interest. Eight areas of interest means that the radar, the ground penetrating radar, found eight points of interest. Going through, three were eliminated. Basically, we dug them up. There was nothing there. Two, we have names for, so we're eliminating them. We're trying to locate the families. We have one possible name. We're looking for family help. We'll be dealing with that this week. And we have two unknowns. So we haven't quite decided what to do with them. We'll probably simply put a marker on. About $1,000 to do the digging for the three areas. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We received a response to our letter to the sheriff's officer offices. We wrote them a letter that basically said from time to time, the pagers for first aid and fire do not go off. This has been going on for 3 years. They called us today and said, we're sending out a team. We are meeting with Motorola in the next week to see if they can replace some or all of the equipment because they're very unhappy, as are we. And last but not least, there have been several burglaries in town, mostly from people's driveways. So you might want to keep your equipment out of your driveway, in your house, in the back of your house, wherever is appropriate.
Keep your car locked.
Keep your car locked, yes, and your trucks and whatever else you have out there. Okay, so we now come to public comment on the consent agenda. I'm going to ask before we start that, there are some changes to Resolution 16-80. We just got some updated information from the MCIA, some rate information. So I'm going to move, actually I'm going to ask for a motion to move Resolution 16-80 out of the consent agenda.
Okay, so moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Second.
We now move to the public comment on the consent agenda other than Resolution 16-80. Mr. Allentuck.
Third Allentuck, 22 Homestead Lane. 1681, preliminary investigation to determine whether the Borough Hall property is a redevelopment area according to the criteria. What's the point?
There are 2 points. One, grants may be available for redevelopment areas that are not available for other areas. The second and more urgent point is now that we know that POSHA is going to be coming out here, we immediately have to respond with we're taking action. And this would show that we are taking action with respect to the buildings.
Okay. I did some investigation today.
Mm-hmm.
After reading this, I went to HUD's site. HUD says they ain't got no money. for anything on the public, on community development. So, and so far as whether you could, and I don't find anything in the New Jersey statutes, except something about that, something that seemed to have expired in 2011. Sorry.
When you say you didn't find anything, what do you mean?
Nothing that would have any impact on your application. There are no grants. There are no municipal grants. The only thing that they have is, which I suspected, was a kind of a tax abatement for developers of the property, and which I don't think is going to happen. But that's my personal opinion.
We're not taxed. So.
Yeah, you're not taxable, and if you hired a contractor and he went long-term payout, and he was he got tax abatement on whatever profit he made. It might be interesting, but I don't know if you can work it out.
Well, there are some other advantages. I can't remember them all off the top of my head. But we can surely have a discussion about it.
Okay.
Thank you. Hi, Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive. I guess I'm directing this to Michael Tickton.
Yes.
Michael, that you told me after the first advisory committee meeting on emergency services that if the borough designated the area for the firehouse a redevelopment area, that would prohibit any public petitions for bond, for a referendum on
That's
voting
correct.
A bond up or down?
That's correct.
That's correct?
Mm-hmm.
So does the council know that you would be prohibiting the public from petitioning to vote up and down a bond if you made this a redevelopment area? I'd like to ask each council person if you're aware of that.
We haven't had that discussion at the table.
But I'd like to ask them personally, not you. I'm not asking you, Mayor.
I know.
Thank you. But I would like to ask Mr. Palgari.
Excuse me.
Where?
Point of order. You do not have the right to poll the council. We have not had the discussion yet. We can have that discussion. It will certainly come up.
I thought it was on the consent agenda.
It's on the consent agenda. This is the public comment on the consent agenda.
Attorney,
we will then have conversations.
Where does it say in Robert's rules that I can't ask those questions?
Would
you cite to it, please?
I will.
Please?
Can I finish?
Sure.
It doesn't say anywhere in Robert's rules.
Okay, thank you.
But
I'd like to ask.
But we're governed by more than just Robert's rules. The general practice is for public comment. And that's what the statute says. It gives you the right to comment. Doesn't give you a right to question.
Well, I've heard other council people responding to other people. So why couldn't they choose to respond to me? Why are you taking their option away?
We're not taking away anybody's option. You said, I want to poll the council.
No, I said I'd like to ask Mr. Impelizzeri if he's aware that if you made this a redevelopment area, that would prevent the public from petitioning to put the bond or a capital improvement on a referendum.
May I?
Sure.
At this point, I was not aware of that.
How about you, Stacy? Are you willing to answer?
At this point, I was not aware.
Okay, thank you. And Jill, were you aware?
Mute button.
Maureen, I'm not going to respond to you at this point. Thank you.
So I'll take that as a yes. Okay, my next question is, well, I'll wait till you, does this mean that you're putting the other, the one you took off the consent agenda onto the discussion agenda?
We are putting it into a separate resolution, not in the consent agenda.
Does that mean the public can comment on it?
Not at this time.
But will there be a time?
We can have that discussion, yes.
Today?
Yes, today.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify because things aren't really clear. Okay, thanks.
Anybody else in the public on the consent agenda? We now move to the consent agenda.
Move the consent agenda.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion. let's talk about the effect of Resolution 16-81. Resolution 16-81, in addition to what we have discussed previously, would clearly permit us, in the event that the voters voted on the referendum questions, to follow the direction of the referendum. It would also clearly permit us, in the event that something else happened, like OSHA condemned the buildings, to be able to react to it. No, if we did a bond issue for that, the public would not be able to vote on that. Similarly, if we did the same thing at 19 Rochdale, you would not be able to vote on it, nor if we did it at the gas station, would you be able to vote on it. So it gives us an additional option. Does that answer your question?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you. I'm looking directly at you and asking you.
Does that mean that...
Could you come to the podium?
Okay, but not really. Because you're talking about the referendum that you have on this ordinance, the 1680. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the public petitioning for a referendum as we had in December to vote a bond ordinance, yes, do we ratify it, or no, do we not ratify it. So we would not be permitted
That's
to
exactly
do that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. No, you would not be
We'd
permitted.
Not.
Nor would you be permitted at 19 Rochdale, nor would you be permitted at the gas station.
Right, and we wouldn't be able to petition for a capital improvement referendum either.
You would not be able to go through the same process of turning down a bond to build a building or to renovate a building.
Or
that is correct.
Capital improvement ordinance.
Capital improvement ordinance is a bond.
Oh.
You would not be able to prevent by referendum a vote to decline a bond. Is that clear?
Yes, it is. That's exactly what Michael told me way back in January.
Okay.
So is this a table discussion now?
Yeah.
Okay. So you put this on today after you spoke to the OSHA people?
This went on today, correct.
In response to that?
Well, in response to a number of things, of which that was one.
So what are the number of things? I don't understand. This came out of nowhere. Like, there was never a discussion of this. All of a sudden, this is on the agenda today. I would just like to know what led to you putting this on, this resolution on here.
The rush is the Peosha conversation.
But why wouldn't you tell Peosha that we have a vote coming up in November, which is 4 months away, less than 4 months?
Because usually they give you between 30 and 120 days to correct the problem. We have been putting them off for over a year and a half. They have wanted to come in and do this inspection, and we have said, we're having a referendum, we're getting a bond, we're doing this, we're doing that. So if we come back and we say...
Well, we did have a referendum.
We had a referendum, and what happened?
Well, the people made their
they voted on the referendum, and they voted down the bond.
Right.
Right. So the state is going to come in, they're going to inspect. If they condemn, what do we do?
Well, does this supersede the vote in November? Suppose they come in next week and condemn the building.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? You decide that you're going to bring it, won't it take more than 30 days to bring it to the planning board and have the planning board discuss it and vote? Or however many days you said?
Yes, it shows that we're in a process.
But then what happens if, suppose the planning board does vote and they vote to designate it a redevelopment area.
Mm-hmm.
And so does that supersede the vote in November, the two ballot questions?
No. No. When you say, what are you going to do?
Well, you
are. There
are
five people voting.
No, you put this on here, and this was your idea.
No, it wasn't actually.
Whose idea was it?
It was not my idea.
Whose idea was it?
Let's leave it there. It was not my idea.
Well, you know, if you don't want to give that information, okay, fine. It was someone else's idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now what happens if somehow this gets through and passes the planning board?
Right.
Before November 8th. Then you make this a redevelopment area and you can put the fire station here and you don't have to bring it to the people?
No, we could do that now. We've been able to do that for a year. So when people come up and they go, you're not giving us a choice, et cetera, simple answer, you're trying to force this down our throat, the simple answer is, a year and a half ago, we could have built whatever we wanted at the gas station. We could have built it once we took over 19 Pine. We could have built it, I'm sorry, 19 Rochdale. We could have built it at 19 Rochdale.
But now it's getting down to the wire, and this is on here. I just want to know what happens if this does pass the planning board before November 8th. Then what does that, suppose OSHA condemns the building.
Let's forget OSHA condemning the building, okay? Let's say that it is, we have a plan approved by the planning board. I don't know why it wouldn't be, okay? Buildings are clearly in terrible shape. We have the referendum. The voters vote for item A or item B. We then proceed with item A or item B.
But what about this?
What
no,
about
I don't understand. Then isn't it redundant?
We proceed with item A or item B.
Then isn't it redundant? Then why is this on here?
No, it's not redundant. It's not redundant because, one, we have the issue of grants. Two, we have the issue of dealing with BOSHA. And three, it gives us the option to build it here instead of having to put it at 19 because 47 people decide that they don't like what the vote was.
Build what here?
Whatever it is they voted for, either a two-bay or a four-bay. That's what the referendum is. The referendum says,
that.
I want you to build, do this or do that. Once they choose, we then proceed to do that.
Well, but it was always going to be here, or for quite some time.
I don't know why you think it was always going to be here.
Well, for the entire time we've been discussing it since the referendum, it's going to be on this property.
Right.
So.
And if it is voted item A, item one, option one, okay, what is option one?
No, but I'm talking about designating this as a redevelopment property.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. If we designate that as a redevelopment property and the voters vote for option one, what is option one? That's the two-bay, right?
Yeah.
We can then proceed to build a two-bay right here.
But we could have done that even without this.
Well, that depends, because, as Maureen so succinctly points out, their intention is that if we get approval for option one, and then we then proceed to bond it, they will seek to overturn, they will seek a referendum to overturn that bond.
Who will?
Maureen, Bob, Joe, same people who proceeded last time. Correct? And so all this does is it permits us specifically to proceed based on the results of the referendum.
So it has much less to do with POSHA than...
No, the timing is POSHA. We're at the table at the moment.
Except that...
Do you want to say that you're not in the group or are in the group?
Just got my hand up. When I can speak, I'd like to speak.
Okay. Thank you.
I just think that the timing's very suspect. I mean, I don't understand if it does take 30, if they're going to give us 30 to however many days, I can't imagine this could all go through immediately anyway in order to remedy, you know, the hazardous conditions we have. I just think this is really more having to do with the referendum than POSHA.
This could clearly go through on or before November 9th.
I'm
what
sure
day is the election, the 7th or the 8th?
8th.
Okay. So, as of the 9th, it would be a redevelopment property.
And so, again, if the referendum, suppose option 1 passes, and you have, and this is put in place, this in no way supersedes the referendum?
No, it allows us to do what the referendum tells us to do.
Oh, despite the fact that some people might challenge the actual bond.
Correct.
That's all I have about this resolution.
Okay. Do you have other resolutions in the consent agenda?
Yes. I'd like to discuss the referendum questions.
They've been pulled.
You're right. Okay, I'll wait.
Is there other discussion at the table? Mr. Trammell.
Thank you.
Jeff?
Yes.
So the way that I read the resolution, it says the planning board is authorized to undertake a preliminary investigation.
Mm-hmm.
They'll to determine whether the proposed area is a redevelopment area.
Correct.
They conduct the investigation. They hold the hearing. Right?
Right.
The hearing is assigned by law to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a recommendation.
Or
the
Or they could rely on the existing. They could rely on the existing recommendation of the commission.
Regardless, they'll make a recommendation.
Yes, regardless, they'll make a recommendation.
They'll make a recommendation. The recommendation comes back to the borough council to act on.
Yes.
Because so the redevelopment area determination really just authorizes the borough to use the powers that are provided by the legislature for use in a redevelopment area, and it would allow the borough council to proceed with whatever comes out of option one or option two of what's on the ballot in November.
Correct.
I got that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Trammell.
Sometimes it's difficult when you're reading stuff at a distance. You can't look at people's faces. So I'm glad I got it.
May we proceed to Mr. Trammell? Jill? Or Councilwoman?
I'm done.
Okay. Mr. Trammell, sorry.
Okay, if I'm Trammell, 17 or 72 Pine Drive, I've been in a lot of different places today. So if I'm to understand this correctly, mm-hmm. The $600,000 bond that did not go through last year will be a thing of the past, and the $1,200,000, the $1,600,000 options are on the table now. And whether or not they pass, whichever one passes or not, the council has the option after 48-12A-6 to not have to go through any bonding. Now, let me rephrase that. To not ask any permission to do any bonding, the council can just go ahead and bond $2 million and us taxpayers have to pay for it.
Actually, the council, as a general rule, has that power now and does it all the time.
That was my
question.
The
water plant,
so
the sewer
right
plant,
now,
the
this,
water
this
tower.
This shows us, the public, that you can just go out and get $2 million and us taxpayers will pay for it.
There's nothing in any proposal that's $2 million.
I'm just saying, if you felt like that was what you needed, that's what you could get, and we have no say in the matter. If you took $1.6 million, which is one of the options, or $1.2 million, which is one of the options, or whatever, we have no say. We just have to pay the taxes.
Okay, let's be clear. We're not on that particular resolution, but the $1.6 million and the $2.7 million are over a 20-year period.
I understand,
okay.
but so the option that the council has is to go out and fetch whatever monies they want to deal with the situation at hand, and us taxpayers pay for it.
That's
basically period.
Generally how it works, yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Maria Del Piano, 16 Tamara Drive. Hi, everyone. So what I'm getting out of your designating this area as a redevelopment area is the fact that no matter option A, option B, which half of the voting public basically voted down both option A and option B, or option 1 or option 2, whatever options you want to call them, half of the voting population voted it down back in November. Okay, so now we have basically the same animal on the table. We're looking at the same thing, basically, new buildings, which we've already said, half of us have already said we don't want. Okay, but it's there again. Okay, that makes me feel disenfranchised, you know, but let's go on to what you're talking about now, and adding this new designated redevelopment area, you have now effectively blocked any...
No. We previously... No, by law...
Go ahead.
By law,
mm-hmm.
you were effectively blocked
mm-hmm.
from us deciding to build anything
mm-hmm.
at 19 Rochdale mm-hmm. or the gas station.
Okay, okay, I get that.
Which
I
we chose that. Not to do, we mm-hmm. chose to leave mm-hmm. it up to mm-hmm. the voters.
And
the voters voted down the first bond.
Mm-hmm.
We then had 6 months' worth of study, 5 engineers, architects, CFOs, et cetera, come in and give testimony. They then came up with a range of options. And those options went from we build a 5-bay to a 4-bay to a 2-bay, and we sign up with
I'm familiar with that.
Millstone. Right.
I don't agree with the end result, but I'm familiar with the process of, as you said, what took us from point A to point B.
Okay.
But my point is you've effectively now, with designating the area as a redevelopment area, you've effectively blocked any public discord from your moving on in the direction that you're choosing to move on.
For that property,
mm-hmm.
if the public votes for option one, and option one is a 4-bay building, I don't remember which is option
it's
one.
It's a 2-bay building,
two
but
bay
that's
building.
Beside
okay.
the point.
All
yeah.
Right. So, and it's a 2-bay building.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We can put that 2-bay building at 19 Rochdale.
Mm-hmm.
We have always been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have always been able to put it at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
So effectively, what would happen is that you would force the council to choose between two properties, 19 and the gas station. And this allows us to choose the third, which is the property that we have, which is the property for which everything was already designed.
Seems like a wonderful chess game to me, and it seems that, you know, I've been coming to meetings, and as Councilman Peggy Malcolm said, you know, there was nowhere that this was a designated redevelopment area. You know, I mean, I was here this past week. No one suggested, mentioned, spoke about it, and now all of a sudden this is on the table.
It's actually been in the works for some time. It's come forward more. It's come forward faster than was intended.
Been in the works how?
But again, there's no transparency
right,
between
the
council and the public.
Well,
you know.
We've been sitting down there reading Title 40, 26, et cetera, looking at what cases might apply, what cases might not apply.
Who has been?
Well, I have been. Others on the council have from time to time.
I wouldn't know. I've never been asked to help read anything or come to any kind of...
Well, you were asked to come to the committee meetings.
Committee meetings or the advisory meetings?
Advisory meetings.
The advisory meetings were a sham. There was no way I was
okay.
going to them.
Thank you.
No, I wasn't finished speaking. If you were saying thank you to Peggy, I don't know. But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, so what that says to me then is that there really is no transparency. And again, you have half of the voting population standing up and saying, wait a minute, we don't want our tax dollars spent in this way. And you as council are just seemingly steamrolling right over our statement, our referendum, okay?
That is certainly one point of view. The other point of view is we are required by law to do something.
To do something, correct.
Right, and the options that were presented in a range of prices showed that the original suggestion that we rehab the buildings was substantially more expensive than the other options.
Mm-hmm.
The negotiations to date with Millstone, and that could change, but the negotiations with Millstone to date show that that would be more expensive. However, that is being put in front of the public. We have to do something. Doing nothing is not an option available to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we had a study that said, go out, look at all the options, come back, make recommendations, and tell us what it is we can do and how much it will cost. And they did that.
Yeah. As again, I like Peggy. I feel that, you know.
I like Peggy too, but we disagree.
I like, and I disagree with you. You know, I feel, you know, that that a large majority, that a large part of the voting population have truly been basically, you know, hamstrung. I mean, we don't have a leg to stand on anymore. And I think you're creating more and more of it to be in your favor where you continue to ensure that that's the case. And
I will ensure that whatever the voters vote for under option one or option two will be carried out. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely my intention.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just like to say I also find it interesting that you quote the experts from the advisory commission, but yet the one expert who was not in favor of a new building you dismissed as having his own private agenda and being unreliable.
I suggested when we got the minority report that we were not particularly far apart in our thinking. Mr. Clark disabused me of that notion, if you will remember.
No, I was talking about Harry Carter, not the minority person. I'm talking about all the experts that you're quoting, but the one expert who was not in favor of a new building and who had a pretty negative view, you dismissed as having his own private agenda and being, you know,
I said he was not a finance. He had no concept of finance. That was not what he was brought here for. I also pointed out that he said we need three fire trucks, which keeps not coming up. So we have made some, but we do have a member of the public. Could you give us your name, address?
Jessica Hanley, 10 Farm Lane. I don't know if I'm confused or maybe a member of the council meeting or maybe some of these people in town. As we've said, it's been a 50-50 split on the original vote for the new development of the fire department. So why do people feel at 50-50 that their majority counts over the 50-50 to the people that thought that it was a good idea to spend less money than now this $1 million, $2 million that's coming up? I'm not really sure why they're upset or not understanding what the original reason for that vote was. And now that OSHA's coming in, I'm assuming that we have very little time to fix what could have already been starting to be fixed?
We have a limited amount of time to respond to them. Whether they give us more time is solely within their discretion.
Right.
Ours.
So even though this came up in little time for the public to know that this was coming, we only have little time to fix it.
Hmm.
So
but do you understand why the other side does? Because it was an even tie, it means the referendum did not pass.
I understand that, but I also understand that there was 50% of us that did think and that it should have passed.
That's true.
And now we're going to spend more money because they didn't want us to be able to save our houses if, you know, we have a fire.
Save more money how?
And now we're going to have to spend, I mean, if you want to go to vote and we spend $2 million to go to Millstone and then say my house goes up on fire, when I have a fire department right here, I have to wait 20 minutes for Millstone to come to me? Is that
I don't believe that's accurate, but that's a whole other conversation.
I'm saying there's 2 million, as Jeff said, the 2 million figure and those figures are the 20-year figure. They're not
right, I understand. I mean, as the lifetime of it.
The bond, if you're bonding for a smaller building, it'll obviously be a good deal less than
right.
The original amount that it
I would just think,
right.
I would almost think it's a no-brainer for anybody in town that why would we want to outsource to another town when we could have something right here, spend less money, and, you know, not all of our houses are concrete. And even if there is a fire in our concrete houses, that doesn't mean our things aren't going to be ruined, our memories won't be ruined, my children's lives may be at risk.
I'm sorry, Ms. Hanley, you're getting into the resolution on the referendum.
That's the other part.
We're just talking right
okay.
now about
I'm just very confused as to why everybody's so upset in regards to what's going on. I don't, that's all.
And the difference, as Michael points out, when we're talking about upfront payments, under option one, you're talking about $390,000.
Right.
Under option two, you're talking about $564,000.
And that's the year.
That's for
the bond.
The cost
the
of
bond.
A building. So if we want to build a building for $390,000,
mm-hmm.
we go to Monmouth County Improvement Authority or someone else.
Right. I see that it's over 20 years.
Right. So we put out
I
a bond.
That.
So that 20 years includes the proposed budget for first aid over 20 years, fire over first aid, interest over over 20 years.
Regardless, it still just makes, it's financially makes more sense for us to stay in town, I'm assuming.
That was the conclusion of the, that was the initial conclusion of the commission, but they thought that there were two options that should be voted on, one of
and
which
now
is going to Millstone.
And now our only options, we have option one and we have option two now.
One is go to Millstone, one is stay here.
Right. Okay.
I just wanted to just say something to respond to what Peggy said about that we're disregarding Harry Carter's. I mean, in fact, we're doing the referendum does exactly what someone would do to take account of what Harry Carter said, because if Harry Carter's criticism wasn't against building anything, it was against build. He was talking about whether we should have our own fire department. So the referendum does exactly that. If those who feel we shouldn't have, should vote for the option that says no fire department, that's all.
Right. It's
so
just
that's taken it. It isn't that exactly taken into account. You know what he said was taken into account in creating the choices.
Well, no, Jeff was pretty dismissive of his report.
I understand that, but the referendum, but nonetheless, the two choices take for someone who wants to do as he recommends. You know, the choice would be there.
So we have a motion and a second consent agenda. Does it have to do with
it has to do with what we've been talking about.
Does it have to do with the redevelopment?
Yes.
Okay, because if it goes into the other one, I'm going to ask you to stop.
That's okay. My name is Bill Feelong, Six Pine Drive. My question is, the $800,000 bond that had been voted down, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I think a lot of the...
$570,000.
Okay. A lot of the issues with doing that was raising the taxes where people can't afford the taxes anymore. We have a lot of houses in town that are empty at this point. We can't get people to live in them in the first place. Now you want to go for $2.8 million and raise the taxes more.
Okay.
So how are we going to get people to afford the taxes more over the next 20 years?
We're going to discuss that resolution.
The other thing is,
after we complete the discussion on the consent agenda.
Well, my other question is, comment is, we already have one bad bond that has raised the water bill through the roof.
Excuse me, sir. Let me be succinct. We are discussing the consent agenda. The issue you are referring to is Resolution 16-80, which we will discuss after we deal with the consent agenda. We need to do this in order. I appreciate your concern, and we'll be more than glad to hear you out very shortly. But
okay.
We need to proceed on that. Thank you. Okay. So we have a motion, and we have a second.
No, I wanted to ask. The civil rights, is that something that every town is? I mean, that's already the law, so I'm just curious why.
That's another requirement of the insurance company to get the lower premium. They want that
specifically
that resolution.
I mean, I assume that, but I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Let's get through the consent agenda. Okay. Are there other questions or comments on the consent agenda? Would anybody like to make a motion to pull something from the consent agenda? Okay. Please call the roll.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Anhelzeri?
Aye.
Ms. Lahoti?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
No.
Mr. Tipton?
Aye.
We now move to Resolution 16-80, Resolution of the Borough of Roosevelt, authorizing the inclusion of referendum questions and interpretive statements. Before we start on that, we got updated numbers that originate from our CFO and from our from the MCIA. They were doing some updating on the interest rates, and so I'm going to give you new numbers for option one and option two. So I'm going to have the right one in front of me. Looks like the one in which I wrote down the numbers. Okay. Option one, the number $2,729,000 is now 2,730,558. The number under option two, 1,632,032.
Jeff, could you say that again?
Sure, which one?
Two.
1,632,032.
Yeah, and the first one again.
2,730,558. Obviously, those same numbers carry over into the interpretive statements. And in each case, in the interpretive statement, the last line includes a number for interest. In the interpretive statement, the number for interest right now is 181,390. It is changed to 180,815.
So who came
under
up with these new numbers?
Two, under option two, the interest rate was listed as 252,693. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the last sentence of the interpretive statement. That number 252,693 becomes 264,880. I had asked George to update. George contacted MCIA. Who are the new numbers? As did George. Do I have a motion on resolution 16-80?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Did you get that? Okay. So let's start with first do discussion at the table, then discussion from the public, and then back to discussion at the table, if that's all right with everybody. Okay. So comments from the table on 16-80. When we discussed at our last meeting. Do we have any?
Yeah, Mike, you...
Yes.
Remember your suggestion at the last meeting of the each question have a yes or no? And I thought that might be confusing. But could we discuss that a little more, only because it seems that some people would prefer a yes or no to both questions. I thought that would be...
I think it's a little late for that. We've had that vote. We proceeded to the county. We sent it to them.
I know. I just wanted to hear Mike's thoughts about it once more before I voted.
Okay. My thought simply was that would, you know, that those who wanted to vote no on both would vote no on both. Of course, that would lead us with no guidance as to
right.
what to do.
Well, yeah, that was
which
my
would be a very difficult
yeah.
situation, especially with Boeotia afterwards.
That was my feeling. Yeah. Okay. Mm.
You know, ideally, I think that would be a good idea, but I... see practical problems with it.
Other comments from the table? From the public? Sure. And I'm sorry, could you please say your name and address again? It's hard
yes,
on the
it's
tape.
Bill P. Long, 6 Pine Drive. And once again, like I was saying, is how can we be going for $2.8 million when the public has voted down $800,000. Basically, I think what people are trying to do is not get their taxes raised.
I think we're mixing up two things, just so we're clear.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, what the public voted on was a $570,000...
Okay, so $600,000.
Well, five-bay building, okay. The matching numbers are $390,000 for a two-bay building and $564,000 for a four-bay building.
Okay, so $564,000. So we're going right back to where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And the public's already said we can't do it, we can't afford it, and we're just going to say we're going to do it anyway.
No, we did 6 months' worth of study. We brought in engineers, we brought in architects, we brought in CFOs, we brought in fire experts, and we came back and we said, okay, here's the range of options. And the cheapest one ended up being building a four-bay building. We have to do something. We can't just not do anything.
But there's a lot
because
of
otherwise the state is going to tell us what to do.
Right. Well, I'm sure this building can be brought up to code for less than $2.7 million to say, okay, we can...
Unfortunately, that's precisely what the engineer said was not true. The engineers and architects said it would be much more expensive to rehab these buildings in accordance with current law than it would be to build a new building. We have all the numbers. I can... we're more than glad to give them to you, but...
The $2.7 million includes the cost over that whole period of time of paying Millstone to provide fire escapes. That's not the cost of building a building. That's the cost.
So if we just went to Millstone, it would be higher.
Alternative ways of providing first aid and fire services.
I still don't see how the public has voted no, 50-50. We still come back, and we're going to be basically told this is what we're going to be doing now, without a vote.
Basically, the state says you have to have fire in first aid.
We cannot opt out of fire protection. We have to have fire protection.
Absolutely, you have to have fire protection. But
we've done a study that shows the range of costs to get fire protection. It's not free from anyone.
And where is that fire study that we can look at it, the public can see it?
It's on our website. We have notebooks. We've distributed it.
Never seen it. Okay.
Do you have the final report?
Is this so we have a three-page report on something else.
Oh, I don't know. It looks like it.
Now, Mr. Freeland, there is a majority report, which is written by the majority of the advisory commission that the mayor appointed, and then there was a minority report from the one person who represented the no votes, who was on the advisory commission. So there is a majority report you can read and a minority report. So
we have two reports.
Because five people who made up the advisory commission were in favor of a new building and one person wasn't. So you end up with one majority report in favor of a new building and a minority report against it. But they are both available to read.
Just for clarity, the members who were not representing first aid or fire, three of them voted for a four-bay building. Two of them voted to have a two-bay building and work with Millstone. That's the vote that was in the report.
And the engineers that were hired to do all the assessments were hired by who?
The town.
Basically, you chose them.
Well, actually, they were chosen about 8 years ago. They haven't changed.
So
we didn't go out and hire our own engineers.
Use the same people over and over and over again without going out and getting a bunch of different engineers.
No, actually, we just changed our sewer engineers this year. We review them annually. We decide whether or not we want to keep them. We change them.
When are you up for vote again?
I'm up for vote in 3.5 years. If you'd like a recall, you can start it now.
I might vote a recall.
Go for it. My wife would thank you immensely. Okay. Other comments from the public, sir?
Steve Taylor, 5 Oscar. The documents that I've seen present the costs from the point of view of Roosevelt Borough. But what I haven't seen is what's the impact on the individuals within the town in terms of the insurance rates of having a local fire department and first aid as opposed to one that's 5 miles away. And does it make any difference?
It actually varies by person. So we have some people here who must have a fire department within 2 miles. We have some people here who must have a fire department within 5 miles. That's why Millstone is effectively the only fire company we can talk to because they're within that 5-mile range. If you go outside of 2 miles, then you're going to have a group of people who are going to pay more. Sorry, we'll get to you, but she has not yet spoken.
Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. I had just a couple questions about the general format, and then I had a question about a number. On the general format, I guess you've already decided that you don't want to have a yes, no. I thought if you had that option, then let's say somebody who doesn't, agree with, the underlying assumptions would have an ability to say no to one or, yes to the other. But
yes, we actually discussed that at some length and voted on it at the last meeting. The other problem that we now have is having voted on it, we submitted this to the county because the county has to sign off on it.
Oh.
And we have to approve it or disapprove it tonight. This is our deadline.
Oh, okay, because I was also wondering, how in the report out of the committee, they did a very good job of, like, pros and cons. So I just thought, for an interpretive statement, if there's pros and cons, because there are for each of those options, it would inform the voters, who I don't think a lot of the voters will have actually read either the report from the committee or the minority report.
We plan on doing a very substantial public push, meetings at the school for the entire town, newsletters, updates. The problem is, please understand, the interpretive statement is what actually goes into, when you go into the voting booth, that's what fits in this space. So we can't have three pages where actually this may even be a little much. They're trying to...
Yeah, we're limited by the county, and also they have to have final approval on our actual interpretive statement.
But they do. We do plan on having a very having townwide meetings, getting information out through newsletters, et cetera, having discussions to talk about all of this to make sure that everybody understands exactly what it is. Because as I have pointed out in the past, putting aside the monetary issue, I don't care. And personally, Mary, you've known me for a long time, I don't care whether it's one or two. I just want the decision done and get on with life.
Oh, well.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay. Well, here's another wording thing, but if you've already done that, let's say if I'm a voter and I was looking at option two, it says build a new four-bay facility to house two fire trucks and first aid ambulances.
Mm-hmm.
But in the report, you can see that actually there's going to be meeting space, office space, and shower facilities for the first aid, which seems like a good idea if they get, you know, blood on them in some situation. It would be nice if they could take a shower someplace, not at their home. But so I'm assuming those are all parts of the four bay, right? Are there going to be meeting space, office space, and a shower facility as it was
there's going described? There's going to be bathrooms, showers, changing rooms, all of which are required by OSHA. Yeah. I don't remember whether or not they stuck a meeting room in there, but it doesn't extend. It's not supposed to extend the size of the building. In other words, you have to have those basic three, and actually I can ask Mr. Ellentuck what else you have to have, but you have to have those basic three under OSHA, which is the bathroom. Okay.
And OSHA, I thought OSHA is not, it only is for commercial purposes. That's why I'm surprised to hear about OSHA.
Sorry,
tonight.
I'm referring it to OSHA Insurance,
yeah.
POSHA.
POSHA applies
which
to
is public
municipalities?
Entity.
Public.
Right.
Okay.
Public Employee Occupation.
Public Employee, thank you.
Safety Act.
Just because I'm thinking, you know, if I'm a community member and I'm thinking, you know, what it's going to be, and I see that there's meeting and office space, I would be concerned that that is not something that I approved of. So I think it, you know, need to make sure the wording is exactly.
Actually, all of the plans are the two bay, the three bay, the four bay, the five bay are all up on the board for everybody to see.
Okay, so we'll have to check, because the four, what does the four bay have? And I would think it would be a good idea to include that in your option, because that's what you're going to build. All right, that's my comment.
Thank you.
And just then the number that kind of I'm concerned about is this $2 million essentially to pay to Millstone.
Right.
Now, if you use the numbers that came out of the commission that studied everything and you calculate the cost starting at $30,000 a year, which is what I think that sounded like what
that
this
was
other
the
plan
offer,
is,
that
right?
That was the offer we made.
That would be something like $749,000.
Right. Unfortunately, in negotiations, there are two sides. Millstone's current position is the best we can do for you is we can help you out for a couple of years, but then you're going to have to equalize with Millstone. That's their current position, so it's the one that I have to put in here.
But
now,
if you're rejecting what the committee did, I think then you shouldn't you send this back to the committee? This is the committee's report. You've taken something that isn't in their report.
The committee took possible pricing from Millstone in the hopes that we could negotiate somewhere between $30,000 and I think it's $50,000, $60,000.
Well,
whatever
I'm
the number
sure.
is. In point of fact, Millstone said, we would like to do that. And they were assuming that there were some incentives from the state. Mm-hmm. The state has since informed them that no such incentives exist. So their current position is we'll start you out slow for 2 years.
I thought it was three or four.
It's four.
No, they said a couple or a few is what they said. We're pushing it to four. Okay. Now,
right, so four.
They may come back. As I said, I have a conference call, another meeting with Thompson. We're expecting another meeting with Thompson. We have a conference call with the state this coming week in which Millstone will be involved. If the state can figure out some way to push it down, then we will push it down. Also understand, just so we're clear, if we were to choose, say, option two, and Thompson's office came back and said we found some money, we would then apply that money, which would reduce this amount. But likewise, I can't say that that's going to happen because I don't know. So all I can do is put in Millstone's current position, and that current position is, their current position is a couple of years, 2 or 3 years at 30,000, and then we would have to go up to equalize. I took four because I figured we can talk them into that, and then it goes up to about 90,000 a year for the next 20 years with 3% adjustments each year. Actually, 3% adjustments made every 5 years, so 15% every 5 years.
If Thompson found money for us to help to contract to Millstone.
Thompson is looking for money.
Period. Right. I think that wasn't clear.
Okay. Senator Thompson is looking for money. He doubts that he can find any, but we'll get to that in the report. Clifton and Dancer basically said, ain't got nothing. Okay. However, they have, in the conversations with Clifton and Dancer, representatives of DCA, Division of Community Affairs, were also involved. They want to set up another conference call next week. Our problem is tonight is the last night we can approve or disapprove our ballot.
Don't we have until the 19th?
No, we have until tonight. It must be approved. The 19th is when it has to be at the county, but it must be approved at a regularly scheduled council meeting. This is the last regularly scheduled council meeting before the 19th.
Yes, but it seems like we have a lot of iffy information. How can we
tonight? Right now, our information is it's going to be $1.6 million over 20 years, and it's going to be $2.7 million over the next 20 years to go to. There is no circumstance under which I can see that Millstone is going to come back and say, we'll give it to you for $10,000 a year. So the minimum.
No, but even if you used your 30,000 starting point, as was in that table.
30,000 is off the table. 45,000 is the closest I could get under any formulation.
Okay. You know what? It would just seem like we need some tough negotiating with Millstone. Millstone has a high rate because they've got like properties that are 15, 20 acres. They've got barns. The houses are way back from the road. They don't even have fire hydrants. So how can they charge us the same? Mostly concrete block houses right at the road, fire hydrants and stuff.
I'll be more than glad to explain that to you.
Yeah, okay.
Just as I am facing a crowd of 30 people, half of whom are upset at the fact that their taxes are going to go up, they also have voters. And I have heard time and again from them, okay, let me get this straight. You want me to explain why it is that Roosevelt pays 30% of what Millstone pays for the same fire coverage.
Because of what I just described.
Chase me out of town with a pitchfork. Okay?
Well, because of what I just said.
Okay,
that
but they
seems
don't,
logical.
They don't care.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I have a little experience in negotiation, but I will tell you this, okay? They don't care. They don't care that we're nice guys. They don't care that we have little houses. They don't care that we're an artsy community. They don't care about the fact that we all love to live here. They don't care. They don't care about the fact that we have been providing first aid service for them for the last 10 years because, as they point out, well, we provided it for you 10 years before that. And, by the way, we're the fire district, not first aid, so we can't discuss that. So from their point of view, they're looking at – they're by the way, in fairness, they are trying, particularly Mr. Markunis, are trying very, very hard to figure out some way to do this. They want to provide service to us.
Yeah, they're very anxious to.
They're very anxious.
I mean, you drive past all those gleaming fire trucks that are always just sitting in the building. Isn't it better to get 30,000 a year, 40,000 a year than?
They answered 890 calls last year. So those pretty trucks sitting in those fire engine in those buildings go out a lot. 860, I think. 860 divided by 365 days. They're going out on a lot of calls. Okay, so they are also going to have to cover Roosevelt. And yes, we have brought up the fact that if you take the total number of calls that Roosevelt is answering now, divided by their total number of calls, multiply it by their budget, we get down as low as $45,000. You know,
well,
they
it's
were
like
here.
It's a no-brainer right now because of this, yeah, very high cost. Nobody will vote
if
for
we can, if something can be done before the election, when we are putting out flyers and we're having meetings and we're telling everybody what's going on, we will tell them because we're an exact. So if somehow by some miracle we came back and this was going to go down to $400,000 over the next 20 years, I would scream it from the rooftops because I'm paying the same tax as you are. Right? I don't want to be doing 2.7 million, or I don't even want to be doing 1.6 million. But we're looking at the options we have available.
So the referendum will be printed up as is, but if there are cost savings available someplace, that will get information will be distributed, and
absolutely.
Then the vote will, you'll have to use your new information to decide on the options?
Absolutely. And we will do our best to get it out there as quickly and as cleanly as possible. We're going to house if we have to.
Okay. What was the last thing you just said?
So we'll go house to house if we have to.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Chitcha, I'm sorry. I'll get to you, Joe. You've spoken.
Diane Lowry, 15 Lake. Which is it? Drive.
Drive.
Can you tell?
I
haven't been around as long as some people. Anyway, I just got sticker shock today. I'm concerned about this because of the price that it's going to cost. I think we just figured it out to be an extra $130 a month on taxpayers in town over the 20 years. And this is sticker shock price, but then I get worried about the water, if that's also going to add more to our taxes too. And I just got a shock the other day because I got my escrow statement and they've been undercharging me and now they're adding $500 a month onto what I have to pay going forward starting September. So $500 a month is a lot. Then there's $135 for this and then who knows for the water. So I'm just saying that, you know, as an individual taxpayer, I know that things have to be paid for, but this is going to price me out of town, I think.
George?
Tax bills haven't gone out, so I don't know why there'd be an escrow adjustment.
Well, forget the escrow adjustment for the moment.
I got it.
But the
I
130
can show you.
Increase in taxes on 130 average above current, is that correct?
Pardon?
For 2 points.
An increase in taxes
of
$130 based on the 500 and, oh, sorry, based on the bonding of $390,000 or $564,000.
Per year or per month?
Per month.
That's $130 a year.
How much? A year?
Yeah, a year, not a month.
So I just, my point is, I just want to say that it seems like a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit there and it all adds up and, you know, some people are at breaking point right now and it's tough. So I just want everybody to take that into consideration, please. And
I would also point out you forgot the county taxes, the state taxes, and the federal taxes, all of which are going up. We've actually managed to maintain our tax rate for 10 years. 10 years hasn't gone up. School may have gone up, the county, the state. We have not. So, but is that 100 and... Yes, Joe, I want to let you sit while I ask him this question. So I'm standing there again. The 130 per annum on an average tax increase. Well, I think the question was, is the P&I going to increase the average tax rate?
On the average home, I guess you'd have to look at. How much in actual dollars would that?
No, $130. So what she's saying is that her annual tax rate from the borough will go up by $130 if we either do the 390 or we do the 564,000.
But that doesn't include the interest.
What's that?
Does that include the interest?
Yeah, it absolutely includes the interest. If you look at the last line of each of the interpretive statements, for instance, I'm not looking at the one that was changed, but the expected 20-year total cost is comprised of approximately $390,000 building, $181,000 interest, $2,021 payments to the district and $385,000 in first aid squad donations. You want a little more time to work on that, Trish? Okay, let's let Mr. Trammell speak.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Trammell, 72 Pine Drive.
You haven't moved yet?
Say again?
You haven't moved yet since you left?
No, I'm just, you know, waiting. I'm sure George can tell us how much our taxes are going to go up in either case, and I would have been prepared with that if I was going to be in that position. And okay, so I'm a Johnny come lately, a Joe come lately. I've only been here 4, 5, 6 years or so. How did all of this start? I mean, 1936, you had the town, and then at some point there was this nice lady, I understand, the first fire chief woman.
Gus Chasen.
And you had a place with a firehouse, and 10 years ago, was that the case?
In 1983, they built that current firehouse as a public works building.
Okay.
The, well, I'm a little confused. The plaque on the first day it says 1960, but the floor says 1947.
I know.
So something was there in 1947, but in either event, by 1960,
that, yeah,
there was an addition to the building.
Okay. But at what point did it become obvious to the council that we needed a larger fire department, bigger fire engines, more facilities, yada, yada, yada?
No, what became obvious was that we had violations in both our first aid building facility and in the firehouse.
When?
And, oh, 2 years ago? Looking over at you, Michael. We started looking 2 years ago or a year and a half?
Violations?
Yeah. Somewhere in there we started talking about the ventilation and the
ocean. I'm
sorry?
It was longer ago than that.
Right.
The roof blew off. Okay.
Yeah. Sandy and everything.
So we started looking.
No, I understand that, but at what point did you have fire trucks that were too large for the building that the roof blew off of?
Well, it doesn't quite work that way, but when the building was built, let's start with first aid. When the first aid building was built, they used Cadillac hearses as ambulances.
No, I understand that.
Okay. Right. In the fire building, the fire trucks, those buildings won't hold anything built after 1974. So when the Mac, the 1970 Mac, was replaced, we were suddenly in.
When was it replaced?
Oh, I don't remember off the top of my head. It was years ago. It was updated, and then we swapped out that fire truck, and then we swapped out that fire truck.
Do you understand what I'm trying to get at?
No.
I mean, we're here now, and the town is divided and everything. So there had to be something to lead up to this. There had to be bigger trucks coming in, larger fire department, need for more facilities before Sandy, before Irene, and before all of that.
The fact that they didn't comply with any OSHA requirements. They didn't comply with anything. So we started looking at how do we fix this.
How long ago?
And at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Well, yeah, I've been around for that. But before that, how did this whole situation develop? I guess I'm just curious about.
We, again, from time to time, we replace our fire gear. Okay? We have to. From time to time, we get an offer that we can't refuse. Somebody comes in and says, I have a newer truck for you.
It doesn't fit.
Because no truck built after 1974 will fit in that fire truck, in that station. Because the station
so
was
at some
built.
Point in time, you had the need for larger fire trucks because this fire truck wasn't going to cut the mustard anymore.
Yeah, but that really wasn't the driving force behind all of this.
Maybe 10 minutes?
Well, let's stick with talking to the council.
Okay.
We'll go to
okay.
Yeah. And Tim, you'll certainly get a chance to serve us.
But do you understand what I'm saying? It's just like, I mean, we're here. There had to be steps leading up to here. Could
yes.
they have been circumvented?
Yes,
could
in
something
1960,
else have happened?
In 1960,
you know.
They used Cadillac hearses as ambulances, and then they got bigger, and then they got bigger, and then they got bigger, mm-hmm. and then suddenly they wouldn't really fit too easily between those two barriers, right? Then they got taller, and as they got taller, they couldn't get out of the building unless our public works people went out there with a shovel at 2 o'clock in the morning, because that's when the alarm went off, because otherwise they'd hit the roof. So they got bigger. Same thing happened with the fire trucks. The fire trucks got bigger. We managed to shoehorn them in for years. And then we looked at the buildings and we said, we have to do something with the buildings. Oh, if we do something with the buildings, we now have to fall under current law. We have to fall under the current construction codes. So how much is it going to cost us to fix these buildings? And the answer was, more than it's going to cost you to put up a steel pole building. Okay. At which point we started looking at a steel pole building.
So I'm getting the impression a lot of that happened before current council members, except for Mike, maybe?
No, I've been on the council the longest.
On the council.
Okay. Yeah, I was on for 9 years. I think I've been on 10.
This is the end of my 12th year.
12th year, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
the council kind of saw all of this coming and tried to deal with it, and now it's here. Right.
Eventually it all gets here. If you put it off and you put it off and you put it off, and one of the reasons you put it off is because you don't want to raise taxes, you don't want to cause more problems, and you have other things to deal with. We have a road that needs to be fixed. We've got a pipe collapsing down at the...
Lots of pipes collapsing down at the...
Okay.
Yeah.
We have water problems, we have sewer problems, and so you try to prioritize. In the priority, we got to emergency services. And now it's clear that if we don't get to it, the state will. And
one last thing.
Sure.
If the referendum had gone through and you could put the $750,000 into the building, it still would have been, this building would have been sub-OSHA P OSHA standards. And
actually, we would have been out about $50,000. We would not have been out another $50,000, which we could have applied.
I'm saying this building here, not that building, if that building was covered by the bond, this building here still would have been sub-P OSHA, I imagine.
You mean the
this
first
building that we're sitting in here? This
the
all
hall?
The same building. It's all the same building.
P OSHA hasn't come through yet. We're hoping...
Well, so P OSHA is only concerned about that building over there.
The complaints that they read to us on the phone related to things that seem to be primarily the fire... And first aid.
Well, it seems to me POSHA would be concerned about the fumes coming from the ambulances there also.
The short answer is, now that we have not done anything, now that the state is coming in, they will do whatever they want to do. They will do the first aid building, they will do this building, they will do that building. And if they come through and they decide that this building no longer complies with POSHA,
sure,
we are, as they say in Boston, scryed. Mm-hmm. And those numbers will go up.
And what's the $50,000 that you just mentioned that we lost?
I didn't say lost.
Well,
$25,000 in election experts, et cetera. Another $1,850 for the roof. $3,650 for the asphalt, the temporary asphalt. And we now have another $12,500 coming up for the repair on the support of the firehouse.
Okay. So that still... predicates that something has to be done with this building too, because the state's going to walk through and they're going to say this. And
no,
this.
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding you, John. When you say it predicates something having to be done with this building,
if OSHA comes and has you do something to that building, you said they're going to have their way with whatever they want. They will probably find deficiencies in this building also. Like I said, immediately that they can't have ambulances idling in the bay over there. That's part of this building, yep. The circulation of the air and stuff like
that. I'm hoping that they don't find other things in this building. But I'm not an OSHA inspector, so I don't know.
Okay.
I know we have enough fire extinguishers, whatever that's for.
Okay.
Maximum occupancy posted.
And maximum occupancy posted.
Mm-hmm.
Which fortunately we haven't reached tonight, but we might.
Okay. I'll get to my other questions.
Mayor Patel. Oh, sorry. Mayor Patel. Good evening.
Good evening. Beth Patel, 64 Lake Drive. First of all, I'd like to thank the council and our financial specialists, Mr. Lang, and the two other fellows who were here at the last meeting, Mr. Mankiewicz and Canizzaro, for holding the line on the taxes. I know everything is going up, and that's going to continue to go up. That's the nature of our economy, I'm afraid. But also, I'd like to bring up a few points that occurred over the, I don't know how many years, 15 years that I sat at that table. We were aware that the fire building, or what we call the firehouse, had problems and needed work. We were aware that the it leaked in the equipment wasn't in good shape, that the roof had collapsed, needed to be repaired. We were aware that the fire trucks, when I first started, didn't start, and that needed to be replaced because they were very, very old, and the fire members of the fire company were reaching an age where it was difficult for them to meet the standards of the fire commission that said they had to have face masks that fit, and they had to have face masks, needed to buy them. They had to have packs, needed to buy them. They had to have equipment, we needed to buy them. Yes, there are all kinds of expenses that go into it, but we had to have a fire department. I took that as one of my responsibilities as mayor to encourage, and both the fire department and the first aid, very important to this town. Look where we are, way out in the end of Monmouth County. We're practically on the border of Middlesex and Mercer. And we have to have something to protect our citizens first, to be foremost in their mind is to protect our town and our citizens. We have situations where outside of town, people can't always get here. Monroe can't get here. Millstone can't necessarily get here. And in a major catastrophe along the line of Sandy, which was one, and blizzards, which are frequent, and poles and trees coming down in windstorms, outside towns can't always get here. And if we don't have a department that can respond and take care of our citizens, we are in trouble, both fire and first aid. So getting back to the building, we knew the building wasn't meeting OSHA requirements, and we knew a lot of the equipment wasn't meeting OSHA requirements, and not only that, it wasn't serviceable. And our firefighters and our first aid people are all volunteers. And I agree with Mr. Klein, they probably will, coming forward in the future, not always be volunteers, but right now they are. And I think we all owe them a great debt of gratitude for the time and the service and the potential dangerous position they're all putting themselves in, and that it behooves us all as citizens and council to support them and do everything we can to help them to help us. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd just like to respond to one thing that the mayor said. When Mr. Markunis was here from Millstone the other night, he informed us that many, many towns were inaccessible during Sandy, including parts of Millstone that they couldn't get to. But he said in the last 4 years they've had extensive training and education, and they've learned quite well how to reach parts of their own town and other towns that were previously, they didn't have the wherewithal to access those towns, and now they do. Because concerns were expressed about getting here if there was ever another Sandy. And they said they've learned so much it wouldn't be a problem anymore.
But in fact, the point is that they could not get to portions of Millstone
either.
And our crews
right.
did in fact get to Roosevelt, all of it. I'm sorry, there's somebody before you, Jeff. Deirdre? You asked to speak. I'm sorry, name and address, because otherwise they can't keep track of it.
Okay, Deirdre Sheehan, 18 Pine Drive. The two options and their price tags, does that include, it's just the building, right? We're just starting with the cost of the buildings. That isn't...
We already have the fire trucks, the shelves, the gear.
Well, the personnel, keeping things up to code, all those
That's
other
all
expenses...
Included.
That's
all
included.
Yes, in both scenarios, yes.
The extra personnel that would have to be hired, all of that.
Why would we hire extra personnel?
Well, I thought that there were going to have to be somebody in the building 24 hours, two different...
No.
No.
No, no. If I think you're referring to a conversation a few weeks ago,
yes.
That if at some point our first aid dissolved or went away and we were to go to somebody like Monarch, that one of the advantages of having an existing building is that Monarch could leave some of its equipment here and use this as a substation.
Okay.
But that was an idea by no means guaranteed. It was just part of the discussion. Mr. Klein.
Jeff, I'm just going to speak from back here.
Please come to the microphone?
I can't.
Please don't speak. One of the two, please.
All right.
I'm sorry, but those poor people
it's
go
okay.
nuts trying to...
No problem.
Trying to hear the tapes.
Jeff Klein, Roosevelt, New Jersey. Listen, I'm practical, and I know that this is the two questions that are here. That's fine. I mean, that's great. That's what's done. That's what you guys decided on. So that's what's been voted on, and everybody will have to live with that, okay? So the question I have is for you, Michael. This is just out of the blue, and I'm just looking up at Franklin and Benjamin. And I'm just wondering, as a historical town, having been designated a historical town, does that get us nothing for essential services like fire? For our Bauhaus-style houses?
Historical grants are for things like restoring, perhaps we could get something restoring the amphitheater and the statue and things of that sort, but
not for fire?
There's nothing, not general municipal services, no.
Not anywhere in the statutes of the development of the town or anything. There's no money available.
There's no program like that, sorry.
No, I'm thinking back from when they first incorporated the town, the original, if the federal government had
federal funds would be appropriated on a year-to-year basis, so something that was appropriated in the 1930s wouldn't be around to be spent now.
Maybe they missed something, can't walk a donkey on the street.
Good to think.
Tuesdays,
good to be creative, anyway. Yeah.
Maybe Senator Menendez would have.
Yeah, if I can just
all right,
show you.
I was just curious. Yeah. I mean, I realize that things are going the way, so maybe I thought maybe there's some money in.
Yeah, we have scraped, and we continue to scrape for, that's what the meetings with Clifton and Dancer and Thompson are about.
Wouldn't it be a federal,
The federal cares less about us than the county does. But yeah, we keep looking at federal grants. We've looked at FEMA. We go through this constantly trying to find more stuff.
No handouts today.
Yes, I will get to you in a moment, sir. Okay.
We've also looked at money
for
water sewer.
Curious.
Because of being historic.
Yes, Councilwoman Lapote. Yeah, right. Yes.
I just wanted to point out that on the Emergency Services Building Committee, we had a member of the public come in and present us with a list of possible places that we could investigate for getting grants or loans or money, donations, anything. And in fact, calls were made to every one of the possible sources of grant money, and we found none. So, I mean, we're not averse to keeping looking for things, and as you said, you're working with Senator Thompson on whatever he can find and others, but it isn't that, I think that was a three-page list of possible places that we could look for grants or donations, and we were unable to qualify for any of them. So that was the first thing I wanted to mention. The second thing I wanted to mention is an answer to something Diane Lowry said, and I've been trying to raise my hand virtually, but I couldn't. And it is that, as she is concerned, of course, with how much her taxes might increase, but in both option one and option two, there are things which are currently in our taxes. For instance, in option one, the first aid squad donations are already built into our current budget because we donate to them every year. That's how they came up with the number of $385,600 over a 20-year period in first aid squad donations. It's based on the last 10 years and what the borough has contributed. Under option two, there are two things which are currently in our tax budget, the fire department budget and the first aid squad donation. So that will not increase taxes. That is part of the existing taxes that we currently pay. So when George is figuring out how much the possible raise in taxes would be to the average household, those should not be included.
Right, it's the P&I, the bond P&I. Sorry, principal and interest.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, sir, you wanted to speak.
Yeah, I had a couple questions. Mm-hmm. One is what Jill just said about the $385,000 already put in for the first aid squad donations. Where's that money being spent now? Like, is it for donations for equipment?
We make a donation every year. We give a budget donation every year to the first aid squad.
Okay.
So in the calculations, we looked at the budgets over the last 10 years. we then assumed that they were going to increase 3% per year along with cost of living and did that calculation.
Which I understand that. Okay. My question is then, that money, that $385,000 that's being used right now, is being allotted for basically for a donation for what, though? That's being allotted for a building?
No, the Roosevelt First Aid Squad takes a general donation from us.
Right.
They're an independent 501 organization. So they take a donation from us. They go out, get grants, raise their own funds, and they use that for gear,
expenses,
ambulances, keeping
okay.
the equipment up to date.
And
they don't use it for beer parties.
Okay, no. And that's what I was getting to. So right now, that $385,000 over the next 20 years would have been used for equipment, for mm-hmm. trucks, and stuff they needed.
Right.
So now, what happens in 10 years when we need a new truck? Where's that $385,000?
They just got one.
Okay,
they are self-funding.
What happens in 10 years if we give them a donation if they need more money?
No, I'm sorry. We're being unclear. Every year we give them a donation. Every year we give them $18,000 to $20,000 without fail.
Right, for equipment and stuff like that.
We give them a donation, period. They then take their own money they've raised from the town, money they've raised from grants,
right.
and they use that in addition to what we give them to operate the first aid squad. So from time to time they decide they need a new ambulance or they happen to run across what I call a bluebird. They just did that. It was, I'm sorry, Deborah, what's the name of the town that we got the?
Shrewsbury.
Okay, Shrewsbury was replacing their ambulances. They had one newer than ours, and they sold it to us, I think, for
$10,000. Okay. I just feel like that $385,000 is now just going to be used for a building and not for the equipment.
The
stuff they needed.
The $385,000 has nothing to do with the building.
But
the $390,000 is to build the building.
Okay.
Build a two-bay building, right? And then the interest, because we're going to borrow the money, we're not going to pay it up front.
Right.
Okay. So, and then the other number that you're looking at is, okay, right now we pay them $20,000 a year. If I pay them $20,000 a year for the next 20 years and adjust it for inflation and all that jazz, how much does that come out to over 20 years? That's the $386,000 you're looking at.
Okay.
Unrelated to the building.
I still think we're being a little bit washed there, but that's fine.
Okay.
My next question is, and I understand we have a two-bay to five-bay, choice up there. Thank you. Now, what happens if we decide to go with Millstone with a two-bay for the first aid squad? And I thought I heard you say that Millstone would only commit to about 2 to 4 years.
No. They will commit to 2 to 4 years at... If we were to join the Millstone Fire District today, the price for our town would be $94,000, give or take, because they basically assess you based on the value of your home. And our total value in town is between $84 and $85 million. At 11 cents per hundred, it comes out to about $94,000.
Okay.
We have gone to them and said, well, we don't want to pay $94,000. We'd rather pay $30,000.
Of course.
Okay.
But my question is then, what kind of contract would we have for Millstone over the next 10 years, 15 years? That way, if we build a two-bay, and in 5 years, Millstone goes, look, this deal's not working for us. We don't like it. Or it becomes too expensive for Roosevelt to pay it. We're stuck with a two-bay instead of having a four-bay, and we're going to have to expand the building. We're going to have to buy a new building. Do you understand my question?
I think that's a pretty low risk, because what's going to happen is that you're right, it could happen. It's happening with Upper Freehold and Allentown. They're in a...
Right, absolutely.
I would describe it in a more vulgar way, but they're in a argument because they have a contract substantially like the one we're trying to enter into with Millstone, which, by the way, is one of the reasons Millstone is being very, very careful. They said, we don't want to be there. So as it stands, and my numbers may be off a little bit, but Upper Freehold and Allentown agreed that Allentown would pay, I think, 20% of the total cost of operating the fire department. Upper Freehold is now saying, no, you're costing us more, we want to increase your rate, and they're getting into. Millstone, I do not think, could ever increase the rate beyond what Millstone residents are paying, in other words, 11 cents per $100 evaluation. They could increase the price to Millstone and to us, but under the contract, they couldn't increase so that we paid more than Millstone residents. But yes, it could certainly go up.
Right, and we're with the deal that's being negotiated right now of the $45,000 that they want. Is that the same amount of money that Millstone's paying?
No, they want $30,000, give or take, for the next couple of years. And then they want us to pay what Millstone pays. So they're basically saying, we'll help you ease into this, but at the end of that time period, you're going to come up to par with
And how much does Millstone pay?
Well, for us, it would be $94,800.
So
11
it would
cents,
what?
It's 11 cents per $100 of assessed valuation.
All right.
Which works out to about $94,000.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
At that point, also, we might want to consider whether we would take advantage of the new option to apply for to be part of the fire district. Because if we're at a point where we have to pay the same thing that they're paying, we might as well be part of the fire district and get to vote on the fire district commissioners.
There's a lot of factors
that's,
that go
that's
into
just
that,
future,
you think
just a thing to be aware of. That's all.
Quickly.
Yeah, but we're going to hit Fort Millstone, and our rates are going to go up to the point where it would have been better off for Roosevelt to just say, let's get the fire department.
Yeah, that's the issue. That's the point of the referendum, of the issues, exactly.
Hi, Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive. You said that you already voted on making a yes or a no for each option?
Yes.
I didn't get the agenda on that. When was that sent out?
There was an agenda sent out
to the public.
For Yes, it was published in the Times, and it was published in the Asbury Park Press.
The email list of people that get the agendas, I never got it.
Well, I'm sorry, but it was published. It was on the door here. It was at the post office and at the
Borough. So you're saying we can't rely on the clerk to send us agendas then?
I have no idea whether the agenda was sent to you or not.
It wasn't.
Okay, but we don't have a particular obligation to send it out.
We can't rely on it, no, you're saying. So we don't have an obligation, so...
I would point out that you were during our meetings. We were standing right outside. You could see the posted listings. So this does not come as a surprise to you. There may be others.
Yes, it does come as a complete surprise.
Were you standing outside?
I was there for about 2 minutes with my dog.
Okay. Did you see the sign that said "Here are the meetings"?
What? Oh, but there was no agenda. The agenda that said you were going to vote on the yes or no is what I'm asking for.
In the publication, there was an agenda which we were discussing.
Oh, that was not on anything I ever got. But anyway, couldn't you vote tonight to someone to vote to make a motion to amend this to have a yes or a no on option one and a yes or a no on option two? Isn't it possible that you could do that tonight?
We are having the same discussion we've had for the past 2 weeks. Yes, you could possibly do that. However,
okay,
if we then
it.
Stop. No. Please, you don't get to ask a question, then give me 2 words to answer. Okay? So let me answer the question. Yes, we could technically make changes to this. If we then did that and submitted it to the clerk at the county tomorrow, and the clerk said, you can't do that, we're stuck. This is the last day on which we can make these changes. We announced a meeting every weekday at 7 o'clock and every Saturday at 3 o'clock to get this done. It was properly published. We had a lot of people complaining, but people came in and attended. That's what we discussed. If we make changes to this tonight in form or in the way in which it operates, the chances are very good that it will not meet the requirements of the county, which is why we all voted on it at the last meeting.
Okay, I understand that. But I thought you said that this had to be voted on a regularly scheduled meeting. Is that correct?
That is tonight.
So, but you're not voting on it because you voted on it before. You already voted on it. So, and you're saying tonight that you can't possibly change it? So, in effect, you voted on this not at a regular... Because if you can't change it tonight, then it was already voted on before. So
we can,
it wasn't
we can,
voted on a regular...
Once again, we can technically... We can technically change it. Threatening a lawyer with litigation is like threatening a duck with water.
No,
okay?
But I'm just thinking of the council.
Let's
no, we should be concerned about... I'm concerned about our paying attorney's fees on if somebody brought litigation. That's what I'm concerned about.
We are at a public meeting. We can change this. If we change it, then there is no assurance that the county will accept it. If you want to change the form, if there is tweaking to the language, that we can do without concern. However, we could change it entirely, submit it to them tomorrow. We could do that.
Okay. Well, I would ask you to do that because the way it seems to me is that by the combination of not having a yes being able to answer yes or no to option one and yes or no to option two, that combined with the redevelopment zone designation is effectively, it is disenfranchising the voters who don't want a bond.
Ms. Parrott, if they both vote no, okay, let's do it your way. You vote no. Comes up no. Okay? 90% of the town votes no. Great. Now what do we do? Now what do we do?
We don't have a bond.
We still have emergency service issues.
What do we do? Because I've been listening to people for months now get up and say, I don't like this option, I don't like that option. And I keep coming back and saying, okay, what do we do? And I keep getting met with silence. So the state is going to force us to provide fire and first aid. How should we do that?
Well, we've been doing it for 28 years that I've lived here without this, without option one or option two.
Right, and
two.
We can't do it that way anymore. They won't let us.
That's what you're saying.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
I have more questions, though. This doesn't reveal whether it's binding or not.
It's a non-binding.
It
would be asking the county clerk to put a non-binding referendum on the general
election
ballot.
So even if 90% voted for a particular option, you could totally ignore it anyway.
Right, but we could ignore it today. That's the
right,
point.
But you could ignore it. So it's completely. Or I just wanted to understand it.
It's the only option the borough has under the former government is to ask for a non-binding referendum.
Okay, I just wonder because it doesn't say that. It might be helpful if it said that so people knew, just so they knew. And I just would like to ask Mr. Lang, on the principal and interest, did you calculate how much a year the borough would be paying on principal and interest for option one and for option two? Because the other bond, you said it was $50,000 a year?
That's about the same, actually. On the we were talking 20 years, and on the 565 rounding off, it's about 50, and, you know, give or take, in that range. And the other one is probably about 32,000 cents.
Okay, so that the 50,000 at the other meeting, you said that was $155 a household average, if it was average amongst all households equal.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a little less than that. It might be in the 140s, 145 maybe. Yeah, ballpark, yeah, right there. It all depends. You know, you take the average assessed house, which is $250,900, and you get like $145 or something like that.
So it would be $145. That's option two.
Is that an increase in taxes or an increase in the budget?
Well, that's just looking at the debt service in itself.
So it could be substantially less than that.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Okay. You look at the budget, you say, you know, where we are as far as what we budget for capital items that, you know, on a year-to-year basis. Maybe you don't have to budget as much, you budget less. You know,
and then
what's coming on with road projects and where we are.
And last year, didn't we save about $50,000 from the 1992 loan fiasco when the when the state came in and said you have to fix your sewer plant, and the council sort of hedged until the state came in and forced it, so we got stuck with that 20-year 7% loan, and we just reduced interest on that loan by $50,000.
Yeah, when we refinanced that was the old Farmer's Home,
and we're already paying. Okay, sorry.
So just one point: were you aware that Hillary Clinton, if she's elected, is proposing a huge infrastructure plan where she's going to give that out to do infrastructure? I heard her. It's on her website, and I heard it in her speech.
It'd be great if she did that, if she was able to get that. She's able to get a Congress that'll put a new WPA in. That would be fantastic.
So that would mean if we waited till next year, we could.
Well, but the thing is, the POSHA may not. You know, it doesn't sound like POSHA isn't going to give us the opportunity. But they want to see that we have something in progress. I mean, if while we have it in progress, additional sources of money come along. We don't, just because we bond for a certain amount doesn't mean we have to spend it. Another thing to point out, by building here rather than building at the gas station or building, assuming we can acquire the property at 19 South Rochdale, we can then have the option to sell those properties and use the money from that to bring down the amount that would cover this so that we can bring down the cost that way.
Okay.
I think we all want to bring down the cost.
Joe Tramiel's estimate in taxes, you said about $20,000 a year. So over 20 years, that's $400,000 in additional revenue to the town to offset the cost of what we're paying for these services and buildings.
And just one last point. If you did have a yes or a no to each option, since it is non-binding, at least that way you would be aware of the community sentiment.
Yep.
That half the community did feel that way, and they may, more than half may feel that way, but you wouldn't know it if you didn't give them a chance to express it.
And as I said at the last meeting, the net result of that is that it puts back on the six people sitting at this table the obligation, not choice, obligation to decide what to do.
Right, but you would be aware of the community. That's all. Just awareness of it. And then make you it's still the choice since it's non-binding. There's no harm in being there. That's all.
Thank you. Tim, did you want to?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right, so we're still on resolution 1680. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Please call the roll on 1680.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Angelberry?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
The two is aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Okay. We now move to ordinances.
Well, do you want to, you can do it whenever you want, but you have to have a hearing on the amendment of the budget and then presumably have a vote on your budget as amended.
All right. However, we did approve 16-77.
Right. So when the time comes to adopt.
So we want
adopt,
to
re-adopt. Well, no. That, the only thing 1677 did for you was to say that when you adopt the budget as amendment, you just have to read the title and you don't have to read the entire budget.
Okay. All right. Got confused there. Okay. All right. So let's go to, let's move now to the budget amendments.
Right. You'd have to have a hearing on the budget amendments.
Okay. Excuse me. All right. So do I need a motion to start the discussion of the budget amendments? You know, somebody move the budget amendment.
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. We're now going to have a hearing on the budget amendments. Does anybody in the audience have any comments on the budget amendments? Would you like to explain? I'm sorry, George Lang is our chief financial officer.
The budget amendment was introduced at the last meeting, and all it really did was move some money around in between the line items. It didn't change the overall budget. It didn't change the amount to be raised by taxation. It was just that there was a couple of lines with looking at where the budget was moving so far this year, we felt that we needed to put more money in certain lines, and we had extra money in other lines to move it around, like buildings and grounds and a couple of those lines. That was the extent of it. It didn't change the amount raised by taxation or even the overall budget. It was just really, it's kind of like a budget transfer before you adopted the budget, basically.
I'll give you an example. We had a request this year from First Aid for what I call presumptively a thumper, which is an automatic CPR machine, which everybody voted for because they had just taken the CPR class and realized how difficult it is to give CPR for half an hour. The First Aid decided to dedicate that money this year to a new ambulance. Therefore, the money that we were going to match came free. We're using it for the traffic calming measures. Those of you who don't know, we're getting signs that say speed limit 35, your speed is. I wish it could say many other things, but that would be a lot more expensive. So that's the type of movement that we're talking about as we recalculated what we would be spending money on.
So, George, if we had done, if we had adopted the budget many months ago, as Councilman Lapode was upset that we didn't do, would we be able to pass this amendment now?
We would have to, if we were running out of funds in certain line items, we would have to do an emergency authorization. Or, unless there was something that could wait till November, where we could move money around. But most likely, we probably would have ran short. luckily, we're still okay. We adopt a budget tonight. We'll be able to get our tax bills out. The time to pay will be extended for the taxpayers. They'll have at least 20 days in accordance with the statute, and we'll be able to move along.
Yeah, let's be clear. We're talking about we are now in August adopting the budget for 2016.
Yeah.
That's how our state works.
But is there a problem with that?
Not really. I mean, actually, in a way, I mean, as you go further along the budget, you actually get smarter because you see what's happening. But you don't have to project as much. But, I don't see it as a problem because we've had some different issues coming up this year, notably issues with the cemetery, which are things we haven't had before. Those type of expenses that come up that maybe we wouldn't have budgeted for, enough. Yeah, but luckily we're at a position where it's later in the year that we can. So I don't see a problem. It's not causing us a problem with cash flow. If there was a cash flow problem, we would have sent out estimated tax bills. Personally, I don't like sending out estimated tax bills because it's an extra cost, and I think sometimes it could be confusing to the taxpayers. But the tax bills will go out as quick as possible, and we'll be back on track. Yeah.
Okay. There being nobody from the public.
Yes. Well, I think it's important to point out that there is a regulation in the Department of Community Affairs that requires the budget to be adopted by, I think, April 22nd, and we have not made that deadline.
Thank you.
When did the state adopt their
budget? Well, they're usually June 30th, the last minute.
Can we call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Impelzeri?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Okay. Great. Now, how are we doing?
We did the motion to adopt the budget as amended. That was that?
Yes.
That vote was? Yes.
No, we did the motion to adopt the amendments.
Mm-hmm. Well, you already adopted the
amendments. Yeah, we just had the hearing on the amendment. So.
We just had the hearing on it.
Did we just have a vote on the budget, or do you want to do one just to be sure?
We just approve amending the budget. Resolution to amend the budget.
Yeah, technically you did that at the last meeting, but you need to adopt the budget as amended.
Right.
Okay. So
I have a motion to adopt the budget as amended.
So moved.
So moved.
Well, we'll call you a second, Jill. Okay. Any discussion at the table? Would you please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Impelzeri?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tipton?
Aye.
And after the meeting, we can sit down with Rich and he can explain what it was.
You're covered.
Explain it back again. Yeah, I know we're covered, but she's going to have to write the darn thing up. Okay. committee reports.
Oh, very much.
Me?
You.
Allen's Tree Service is in town, and tree trimming is being continued on Homestead and North Valley and Tamara. A sinkhole was repaired at the post office where the expected approximately 20 feet of repair wound up being closer to 60 feet of repair. But the sinkhole is now it's repaired and it's paved over. There's a smaller sinkhole, I believe, on Pine Drive being looked into, and the bid is now over the threshold, so we have to get put it out for more bids. And there are some repairs to Lake Drive, sidewalks, and just road work. And that's it for me.
Thank you. Mr. Dick?
Okay. As Jeff Rent mentioned before, we met with Senator Thompson this week, and and generally, he's going to do what he can to look for money in various places with a great optimism that there is any. One thing, though, that he is doing, which we had asked him to do this a while ago, and the two assembly members of my district had done it, but he hadn't done it yet, but now he will do it, is we gave him a draft of a bill that would revise the definitions in a bill that's called the Distressed Rural Centers Act. That would, for which we qualify in all ways other than population density, But we would amend it to say that municipalities that are historic, that are a historic district or terminus with the municipality are exempt from the density requirements, essentially, which is a way of getting us into that act without anybody else getting into the getting into the coverage of that law. Assemblyman Clifton and Dancer had introduced the bill. Senator Thompson had not moved on it. I talked to him, and I'd seen him at the Senate. I mentioned it to him, and then saw him again at the office, and he is going to introduce it. Now, the advantage is that that fund doesn't have any money in it either, but the thing that that makes us eligible for is a loan there's a demolition loan program that exists in DCA that was funded in a 1999 statute, which isn't even a codified statute, but it's still there. The fund is still there as a revolving fund. And this allows you to have 20-year zero-interest loans for demolition purposes. Since part of what would be involved here would be demolition, at least we could get, you know, a free interest loan for the demolition component of it. If this by some miracle this bill gets through in time, and we can apply for it, so there's at least that possibility. So at least he said he'd introduce it. So, you know, we'll see if we can get it moving along. So that's the other thing that came out of that meeting. Jeff, is there anything else you want to?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Before you got there, and I'm sorry I should have brought this up.
Okay.
I did have a conversation, somewhat extensive conversation, with Senator Thompson about how it is that water bills and sewer bills are allocated if we were to sell our facilities. Not saying we're selling our facilities, but one of the things that is a showstopper is if you were to sell our water facilities to one of the large water companies, they would have to average the rates across all of their rate holders. So they have rate holders in North Jersey, Central Jersey, South Jersey. Let's assume they have 30,000 of them. They would have to take our rates and average it with everybody else's, which would, in all likelihood, reduce our rates. They don't have to do that now with sewer. Clearly, with sewer, it would reduce our rates substantially, and that's about 80% of your water sewer bill. Until that happens, it's sort of like a wall that we keep running into. So we have been sort of biting at the heels of various legislators and showing up at various conferences and saying, you know, there's no reason you can't do this. Why aren't you doing this? So I had that conversation with Thompson. We have to send him some follow-on information, but he is going to be meeting with both Dancer and Clifton, who I'm also meeting with on Thursday, to talk about introducing legislation that would force the private utilities to essentially lower our rates if they acquired our facilities. And then we would have an apple-to-apple comparison. Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. Two other small, just reporting on. Kelly has advised me that she's been in contact, you know, our request, she's been in contact with the county concerning putting in a stop sign on Rochdale Avenue at the point where it enters 571 at the corner of Clarksburg Roads. So because the way it works now is, you know, you come down the hill, you don't have a stop sign, and it's sort of counterintuitive because a small street is there entering the county road, and the Bokers who live there told me they were just the people streaming down the street. Then there's often accidents or near accidents taking place, so they're looking into that. And another safety improvement is there's Jersey Central is going to put in a light at the corner of Norco Road and Rushdale Avenue, which is the only corner in the town now that doesn't have a light, street light. So that should hopefully have some positive impact on traffic safety.
And Ms. Sorry.
Okay, that's it.
The only thing I have is listed under new business for the Environmental Commission request for funds. So I don't know if this is the time or if we
go for it.
If I may ask Mrs. Walls.
Sharon Walls, 23 North Valley. Thank you. So you know that the Invasive Species Commission of the Committee of the Environmental Commission removed some autumn olive on the corner of Spruce Lane and 571. That was some months ago, and now we're running into the issue that we can't proceed further with this project because the stumps that were left behind, all of the removal that we did was by hand, with hand tools. We had some help with the fire department, came in initially with some chainsaws, but most of the work was done by hand, so what we're left with are some stumps. Now, in response to the mayor's Monarch pledge that charged the Environmental Commission with developing some property, to be monarch and other pollinator friendly, we would like to develop this area into a butterfly park, a monarch park. But these stumps are in our way. So what we did, we tried with Beth's brush hog, we tried to yank them out ourselves, old school style, that didn't work. So we did talk to Alan from Alan's Tree Service. He gave us a written estimate of $800 to remove the stumps. We don't have, we talked about internally in the Environmental Commission trying to raise, you know, use our budget for that money, but we don't have enough money allocated for that. So we're coming to the council and asking your help, showing that we did the volunteer work in the beginning, removing the autumn olive, and in preparation for the butterfly park, we have... Steve's raising 100 redbud trees in his backyard that are ready to go in. He's got some black birch. We've got a line on where to get the milkweed. So we're ready to go, but we're stuck at this impasse. So we just are asking for your help in getting these stumps out.
Here's the first question, George.
Yeah.
You got $800?
I mean, we should be able to find that.
Okay.
Oh, I like you.
Yeah.
The next, we won't even raise our taxes. The next issue... we're going to have to decide, not that I disagree with getting rid of the stumps, is how we're going to maintain this thing. I think we're getting to the point where Public Works is a little overworked, and so we need, you know, to figure out some way to keep it watered, keep it maintained, do all that stuff. So I'm not sure it'll be limited to the 800, but I think from what I understand, if we leave those stumps there, it all comes right back.
It will come right back. And the other issue is we spoke to Eric, who's doing the lawn maintenance. And in fact, he mows behind Mr. Clark's house. And he's not able to mow that area. So if you drive past it, you'll see it's already coming back like crazy. So if we don't do something, we're not going to be able to encourage the residents to go ahead and remove invasive species from their own property, because our project will look like, what was the point of that? It's all grown back.
Jill, would you like to make a motion? It's about butterflies.
I would.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion that we provide the expenditure of $800 to remove the stumps from the autumn olives so that we are able to make that area into a butterfly-friendly environment.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Aye.
No opposition. Motion passed.
Thank you.
Have we seen any monarchs yet? Do we have any
out
front?
We had one in our yard,
you know,
yesterday.
I think he was in my yard, too, because I was in shock.
And I have one milkweed plant.
Is he
from
mostly
all
black
those
with, like, some orange at the bottom of his wings?
No, it looked like...
mostly orange in the middle.
Yeah, because the one I saw had quite a bit of orange, but a lot of it was black. But it...
we offered that poor sucker a pound of nectar if he'd go to every house in town.
Yeah, I was in shock when I saw him.
Does the clerk have any? Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have more to report?
And one of my milkweed plants is coming up, and that's all I have.
Congratulations. Does the clerk have anything to report? Counselor?
No report, ma'am.
There's nothing.
Well, finances, when we did the budget. And, Michael, can you help me, because...
I can.
I cannot remember. I don't have my notes, and I can't remember the planning board meeting. It was like a night of no sleep, and I cannot remember what was discussed there.
It was the shortest planning board
right,
meeting ever.
Right, and so I can't even
yes.
remember anything.
Yeah.
32
just the
minutes?
The memorialization of the things that have been done before.
Okay, we had a planning board meeting that was
nothing
somewhat uneventful.
We did do the planning board's final approval of the mayor, ex-mayor's
right, of the
land
swap. Right, the land swap, and there was something else too. But
yeah, I'm trying to think.
I know, my mind is a blank.
And on the land on Oscar Drive.
No, the 30 day rule, the 30 day ordinance.
Oh yeah, for
include
the
portions
there.
Right.
Also the redevelopment.
All right, the final change to the other existing redevelopment.
Right, so this was a community planning report.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so we now, I'm sorry. Jill, apologies. Anything exciting happen out in Seattle that has to do with our water and sewer?
Well, certainly. We had a conference call with our water and sewer engineer, and in response to some of the questions that were raised by the public about how much is this really going to cost, and when are we going to have to do something with our sewage treatment plant? And the engineer is putting together a timeline for us, along with several options. And we are planning to meet with NJEIT in early September so that we can bring NJEIT and the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection on board for early and substantive input into the options that we're considering, so that we don't waste any time with any options that they will not permit, and that we get the public the answer that they...
You hit mute.
Jill?
It was a funny way to end.
Jill?
Maybe she just couldn't think of the right word. Because I was waiting for what was next.
She just, yeah, she's calling back.
No, she's not. Yeah. But it's not happening. Project. Project. There we go. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, you weren't there before, and we were trying to call you back, so we're good. Okay. So, when last we heard our intrepid heroine, she was talking about the fact that we were in the public portion shortly, and then that you were talking about the effect on the public and what the public wanted to hear.
Yep, so we'll have a report when we get it from our engineer and after we meet with NJEIT.
Thank you. We now move on to, I'm just making sure we haven't missed anything here. Committee reports, old business, we have none. New business, environmental committee request for funds, we just covered. We move to public comment. Anybody in the public? Joe?
For John, on from L, 72 Bond Drive.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I showed Mike last week, or one of the meetings before, the trees out in front of the municipal building here.
Yeah, you mentioned that once before. Now, Kelly, did you mention that the county's getting involved in that?
The Shade Tree Commission came out already once.
Yeah, yeah.
They started on us, and then they're going to be coming back to cut them. They're going to trim them up to where the sidewalk you can see.
Yeah, can't see the sidewalk.
I know, but that's what they're going to do. They're going to trim it up, and they're actually taking out one tree that is actually dead at the bottom of the stump. Down a little bit further in Rochdale, but that's the Shade Tree Commission where it's not going to...
Okay. It's not you, it's the county then.
Yeah, it's the county.
Okay. And another thing, I had canvassed some of these large water suppliers and sewage people and stuff, and it's true in the water situation, they have to average the state. In the sewer situation, no, they are working on legislation for that. However, in the water situation, if there are repairs or renovations to the system, they will, in fact, bring your rates up. There's no doubt about it. It's small print, and they're good for that.
And we'd like to keep that out of sewer because we just rebuilt our entire water system. So there are fewer excuses for that than there are for them punching a lot of money into sewer.
The whole sewer thing is another ball of wax that they're playing around with now. So.
Of course, the flip side of that is somebody's going to have to pay for it.
We would have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But it might not be as much as they would charge. That's where they get their bread and butter.
Right. From they make the a profit.
That, yeah, oh, yeah. From the people that work for them, that's what I hear. Right, you know, so. We should be aware as we tread into that.
That's why I said we certainly have not made any decisions on that, but... You know, that's a complete showstopper.
And hopefully there'll be no balls of wax in the sewage system.
Any
yes. problems from time to time.
Anybody else from the public? There being none, do I have a motion? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody brave enough to object?
No? Okay. Pay the bills.
That was in
the... It was in the consent agenda.
Pay the bills is now in the consent agenda. Yep.
Jill, have a great evening.
Yes.
You still have some of it left. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
I can tell you. Yeah, she's got three more hours.
Yeah.
Well,
she gets up later, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Under the Open Public Meetings Act, you can do it telephonically. Under the other law, it says attend and participate. It's been very interesting. 8 consecutive weeks. There's no case I know of to decide one way or the other.